weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home.
Cambridge University Hospital says its new good rating from the Care Quality Commission reflects months of hard work. The trust, which runs both the Addenbrookes and Rosie hospitals, has been rated as inadequate by a previous review in April 2015. Of course, in between, there's been a requires improvement for the hospitals, which I think was issued in a few months later. Well, to tell us all about that, I'm pleased to say I'm joined on the line, hopefully, by Mike Moore. Here's the interim chair for Cambridge University Hospital. Good afternoon, Mike.
Hello there. Hi. Yes, I am here. You're glad to hear.
Yeah, well, I shouldn't be telling you this, but I think you're the first person I've had through on our new phone system. So it's always a danger at the best of times. I'm sure you probably would have encountered from time to time. That's very good. The decision and the announcement this morning must have been a huge relief for both management and staff.
Absolutely, you're entirely right. It was. I think you said earlier on that it was a great shock, actually, to the hospital and indeed, I think, to the Cambridge community that the inadequate rating, and people worried about it. And this is a great credit to some absolutely brilliant staff we have here, because they have worked their socks off over the last 18 months to say, you know what, we're better than that. We are capable of better than that, and we're going to do it. So this is great credit for an immense amount of work.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? But I guess because in a hospital, more than any other area, you know, the aims of both the regulator and the point of delivery, yourselves, must be the same, you know, both going in the same direction.
Absolutely. I mean, I was very pleased that, you know, even when we had that very bad rating, the quality of our care was rated as outstanding. And actually, there were very few hospitals across the country that had outstanding care. So what that was evidence that it wasn't a problem, so to speak, with the quality of our staff or their commitment or their dedication. What it was is we didn't have the systematic underwriting of that. We didn't have systems in place to get the proper planning and deployment of staff. We didn't have the systems in place that were well enough about making sure that, you know, things like outpatient appointments were delivered to a kind of acceptable time. So what we've done is to underwrite with better and stronger systems, and that's what the Care Quality Commission are recognising today.
Of course, there was that electronic system that you brought in, perhaps some would say controversially, a couple of years ago, and I figure that really didn't help things, did it?
No, you're absolutely right. The timing of the last inspection was a problem. We'd just done some internal restructuring. We'd introduced the new electronic system, and anybody who's introduced an IT system in anything, no matter how complex or simple it is, always knows it takes time to tease in and people find it difficult. And actually, that was a big system change. But what's interesting is the CQC this time round has said, you know what, clinicians, nurses, doctors are saying that they find the Epic system, and I'm not saying it's perfect, I wouldn't want to pretend that there isn't something, lots more still to do, but actually people are seeing the benefits of it now, and I think we will see increased benefits from it as we go forward.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's areas where you might have wanted to have put resources but weren't necessarily able to do so because your attention was presumably slightly skewed away because of the absolute requirement to proceed with what the Care Quality Commission wanted you to improve.
I don't think our attention was skewed. I mean, you're absolutely right. We've had to deal with a terrible, you know, financial challenge because we're in deficit. And how do you manage at one level the desire to save money, whilst at the same time we will not compromise on safety? We've never ever said we're prepared to take a financial decision over and above a safety and quality decision. So the issue was not whether one got, you know, power over the other. It was whether we could match them. So, but you're right, we have had to deal with we haven't had money to throw at this problem. What we've done is we've thrown leadership time and senior leadership availability and being around and listening at the problem. We've tried to open up a culture of people being able to contribute to it. And we've tried to make a virtuous circle of saving money and improving. So to take a good example of that, we were one of the first hospitals in the country to pretty much bring our reliance on agency staff down to practically zero in nursing terms. And that was something that saved us £2.5 million a year. But it actually had the benefit that we could increase our permanent staffing, because, and that gives us the sort of continuity and the sense of belonging to the hospital. So that's a good example of something where we can actually get better quality benefits whilst at the same time saving money.
And you have had the phone call at some point today saying that NHS improvement is officially taking you out of special measures. What does that mean? Does that mean that you don't have somebody from NHS improvement turning up every 5 minutes with a clipboard? Or how do you see that at the hospital?
Absolutely, yeah. It's not quite every 5 minutes, but it feels like it. And to be fair, I think I'd want to say that actually we found the support by people from that to be helpful. What we've tried to say is we're all in this together to improve this, and therefore we've not seen that as an adversarial thing. We said this was a shock to us, but let's put it as a mirror to ourselves. Let's use it as positive criticism that we've got to learn from. So we're on a journey. We will continue to learn from, you know, what we already did and what we will.
Because there is still some work to do, isn't there? There was a list of various items. The one which jumped out at me was medicines being securely stored at all times, one would have thought would have been the given. But presumably there was something you weren't quite doing right, which presumably you've either addressed or you are addressing.
No, we are addressing, and we'd already improved it significantly, but it's a large and complex hospital. We have more than a million patients, either outpatients or inpatients, coming in every year. This is like a small town, Edinburgh's hospital. If you know the campus, you know how busy it is.
I had to say my mother there last week, so I from one end of the hospital to the other, and I'm very thankful for the guide who showed us the way, because otherwise I'd probably still be there now somewhere.
Well, it's an interesting point, because I had a conversation yesterday with some patients who were actually making that point that, you know what, it is stressful being a patient, and I'm not sure that it's as easy to get around the hospital as it could be, and I think they're entirely right. So the medicines, it's the pressure on staff, and on occasion they don't quite comply with it, the locking. It's not that I think it's as freely available, but it's just that it's not the degree of standards of locking everywhere that we want it to be everywhere. Most places are fine and have improved substantially over the past. But for us, it's about continuing that journey of improvement, because actually we think our staff are some of the best there are, and we want to underwrite them to be able to perform in that kind of way.
OK, well, Mike Moore, thank you very much for speaking to Cambridge 105 this afternoon. And, good news, I guess, from coming through from NHS improvement for you this afternoon. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you, and thank you to all of Cambridge for all the help that Cambridge have given to us. Thank you.
That's great. That's Mike Moore, interim chair wrong microphone, there we go. Mike Moore, interim chair for Cambridge University Hospitals. That takes us to 20 minutes now after four. Cambridge University Hospital says its new good rating from the Care Quality Commission reflects months of hard work. The trust, which runs both the Addenbrookes and the Rosie, has been rated as inadequate by a previous review in April 2015. Of course, there was that requires improvement in between. I'm joined by Stuart Tuckwood, who's the union rep for Unison at Addenbrookes Hospital. Also a charge nurse there, which I kind of guess makes you a young Charlie Fairhead.
I guess so, yes.
Derek Thompson, the actor who plays Charlie Fairhead, who's done so for the last 75 years, as far as I can work out, always used to get the roles of union activists as well before before he took on that role.
It's
there.
Not something I've ever really watched.
Have you not?
No,
I guess you get too much of it.
Not enough doing, of the real thing, I suppose.
I guess you probably do. I can't ask you whether or not it's like it or not.
Thing.
I guess you'd welcome the fact that the Addenbrookes and Rosie have been taken out of special measures. I think the recommendation is on its way from the NHS.
Yeah, the recommendation from the Care Quality Commission is that the trust be taken out of special measures. It's not officially happened yet, but hopefully that is what's going to happen. We're definitely very pleased to see that there's been a real improvement in the hospital and the way it's running, the way it's working. It was really difficult for our members and for our colleagues at the hospital to get that rating of inadequate back in 2000.
What's the reaction of staff? How do they handle it? Is there does the chief exec come down and sinker and sort of address everybody over a PA or tannoy and tell you
it's not
what's
that
happening?
Easy.
Or do you have to pick it up on the news and listen to Cambridge 105 like everybody else?
It's not quite that easy to reach however many thousands of staff there are working on the Addenbrookes site, unfortunately, but the staff were told in a message last night, and then they'll have heard hopefully this morning as well. To be honest, most people have busy getting on with their work much as they were before. I mean, much as the rating has improved, and we're glad to see that that's happened, there's still the hospital and the trust are still facing a lot of pressure. No one could ignore the fact that the winter crisis that's been occurring over the last...
I was going to say, because morale generally, how is that? Because you mentioned the winter crisis. I was there taking my mother for an outpatient's appointment last week, and there's notices up about flu and restrictions on this, that, and the other, and that's just a sign, a piece of paper stuck on a wall a few times to remind people. When you're there every day facing these issues, it must be a struggle at times.
It's very challenging for people. I mean, and this comes on top of years of the extent of trying to make savings in the NHS, on top of years of pay freezes for public sector workers, for NHS staff. I think the Royal College of Nursing recently said that the conditions in the NHS were the worst they've ever seen. So while it's good to see the hospitals taking action to improve the things within its control, it can't ignore the fact that the NHS and social care and health services in general still need a lot of investment to repay staff for the work that they've put in.
Would you say at Addenbrookes and Rosie in particular, and I'll probably say Addenbrookes in futures to avoid the mouthful of the way the organisation is structured, would you say that those cuts, as you see them, have had a direct effect locally, not necessarily across the UK? That's probably an issue for another day on a larger radio station than us, but particularly at Addenbrookes Hospital. Do you believe that that's had an impact? And what caused the special measures to be put in the first place?
That's very difficult to say. I mean, there's so many different factors, but what's undeniable is that healthcare is a system. Addenbrookes and the Rosie aren't just dealing with patients in an isolation. They rely on their partners in the community, and I think the chief executive was very careful today to pay thanks to the partners in the community and different organisations that have helped the hospitals move out of special measures. But when the government cuts huge amounts of money out of social care budgets and public health budgets, as it has done in recent years, it means more people coming to the emergency department because they've got nowhere else to go, and it means it's very, very difficult for hospitals like Addenbrookes to discharge elderly and vulnerable patients safely back home into the community.
And this is interesting. So when, say, the A&E gets busy, when it gets very, very busy, as it does many times, but particularly at this time of year, and we know that there's issues that the doctor's surgeries aren't necessarily open at the hours that people want them to be open, how does a backlog, a blockage, whatever you want to call it, in A&E, how does that then spread through, if you like, to the other parts of the hospital? Are people, say, taken off an everyday operation to go and bolster up the people in A&E?
Well, the way Addenbrookes and Cambridge University Hospital works is that it's a specialist centre. It has to carry out a number of operations for people around the entire region, but it also works as a local district hospital for the people of Cambridge and their surrounding areas. So when the hospital is working at almost full occupancy, it has been for a long time now, above what would be expected to be safe occupancy rates, they have to cancel operations to free up the beds for caring for people locally who have things like flu or long-term conditions that need cared for. So that does mean that someone who might have been waiting quite a while for a knee or a hip operation might have their operation cancelled, because it's not just about the beds. Also, obviously, it's about having the right amount of staff to care for people that have operations and things as well. So when the hospital is running at 90-95% occupancy, it does make it a lot more unsafe. It also has the effect that the hospital has to open up contingency areas and has to move staff around to care for these extra numbers of patients coming in, which obviously thins the staff out in other areas of the hospital, and sometimes means the skill mix of nurses and doctors looking after patients might not be quite right.
It's interesting. I spoke to Mike Moore, you'll know him, of course, the interim chair of Cambridge University Hospital. Spoke to him at the start of the programme tonight. And one of the things, as has come out in a lot of the statements that Mike was saying, was that it wasn't actually the staff which were the problem. The staff throughout were rated pretty good.
Yeah, well, I guess
the issue then comes down to there not being enough of you.
Yeah, well, I mean, the caring of the staff was rated as outstanding even when the trust was found to be inadequate 2 years ago, and they've been found to be outstanding again in this report that's just come out. They've also, the CQC highlighted numbers of areas of excellence where the staff are really putting in a lot of extra time, putting in a lot of extra effort to do things that are, superb and over and above what they can be expected to do. But definitely, there needs to be more staff hired. There needs to be, the right quantity of staff in the hospital and also the right skill mix. And it's Addenbrookes and the CUH have been recognised by ourselves. We would admit that they've been trying to do the right things to recruit and retain staff. But given the high cost of living in the area, given the fact that there hasn't been a proper pay rise for NHS staff for nearly a decade, they really do struggle to retain staff and keep them here. And some, you know, I mean,
but presumably they don't. They presumably have a list of what they pay people sent down to them from NHS HQ, and that's what you have to get paid, which goes down, I guess, on the negotiation at the national level. And it's tricky, isn't it? To start then picking off. We know it's a problem. I'm not denying that, and the issues on housing, but the it would be tricky for individual NHS trusts to then have to put extra resources into staff pay locally. I guess what you'd argue for is that it's higher pay across the board.
It would be nice to have a wider pay rise for all NHS staff who no doubt deserve it. But within London, where there's a much higher cost of living than other parts of the country, there is an added supplement to NHS workers' wages to make sure.
Cambridge should be brought into a London band, perhaps.
It's as expensive to live in Cambridge as it is in London, almost undoubtedly in Cambridge itself. So that's something we've been arguing for and we'd like to look at definitely in the long term. The hospital has some flexibility. They're able to offer reward schemes for staff and incentives to try and make people stay and get better training and things. And people do want to work in a good hospital, so they are doing what they can to try and keep the staff, but it's a real struggle. And
I think the management are doing as best they can.
I think they're doing a very good job at trying to hire staff and trying to keep them there, but yeah, a lot of, like we've talked about, they're unable to set wage rates themselves or unable to do much more. So it would be very difficult to find anything that they're not trying to do already to recruit and retain staff at the hospital.
Mm. There's a couple of areas which, according to the Care Quality Commission, still require improvement. One of them which jumped out at me was the medicines being securely stored at all times. What sort of things might go wrong there? This is not medicines being left out or something like that, is it? Is it access, the wrong door open at the wrong time, that sort of thing?
As far as I understand, I gather it's about making sure that medication cupboards are locked at all times and that only the nurses in charge of the wards have access to them and know where they are and those kind of things. There's certain standards laid out by the Care and Quality Commission and the Nursing and Midwifery Council as well. So I think that was something they highlighted back a few years ago, and it's something the Trust has taken.
But it's still something which is listed as needs resolving, which is why I mention it now.
So I think there is ongoing work on that, as far as I know.
Mm. And the other thing, complaints being responded in a timely way. I guess we all hope that that's done. More of a back office thing. And the other thing, which I don't know if you can help guidance on this, resuscitation decisions must be documented legibly and completed fully in accordance with the Trust's policy and the Mental Capacity Act of 2005.
Yes.
So this is very serious point when people, I guess, are pretty near to death, and the decision as to whether or not they need the resuscitation.
Yeah, it's something that there was a legal case, I think, brought against something that was called the Liverpool Care Pathway a few years ago, where people were decisions made by doctors about whether they should be resuscitated or not. And in many cases, it's not the correct decision to try and resuscitate someone if it wouldn't be in their best interest and if they wouldn't have a decent quality of life. But of course, there should always be discussions with family about the discussions with the patient themselves if they have the capacity to make that decision, and that should always be clearly documented and clearly
discussed. I guess this is just kind of the problem. It's not necessarily the doctors are taking the wrong decisions here. They're just not writing down how they came to their conclusions.
Well, I mean, the Adam Brooks and the Rosie use the Epic computer system that's been there for a few years now, and I think there was an issue identified by the CQC when it was first introduced that people didn't clearly know where to document those decisions and where to make it clear, and they've been working on
that. So this is back to that computer system. That's the one, isn't it? Which was brought in with
a few years ago.
I think
ago.
One can use the word controversial in journalistic shorthand on that one.
Yes, that's fair to say. Yes, yeah. I think it was a bit of controversy. But I mean, people are getting more used to it now, and people are finding that, you know, better ways of working with it. And I think the Trust has done quite a lot to try and make sure that people know where those decisions, for example, which are very important, should be documented. And I think that is improving, but it's obviously still been highlighted by the CQC as something that needs paid attention to. And they're quite right to say it. And it goes back to something no one at the hospital would say, which is that the job is done and that everything's got to the point it needs to be. The public and all the patients who use Adam Brooks and the hospitals on this site deserve excellence, and I don't think anyone would say that the job's done. You know, the improvements still need to be made.
I guess it's an ongoing thing, even if you have the best rating that the Care Quality Commission can issue to you.
Yeah, then you should still be trying to improve. And as I said earlier, we've got a winter crisis on. We've got difficulty getting patients in and getting them the treatment they need within the time that they should have it. So I don't want anyone in the public out there to think anyone's saying, brilliant, you know, this is fantastic. There still are big problems that need to be addressed.
And the advice, be interested just to finish with, to cover on general advice, really, for, you know, if somebody
somebody's feeling ill this evening, think, oh, I must go to A&E. What would you say to them?
Oh my God, I'm not sure I'm qualified to offer the advice, to be honest. But I mean, there are many different sources of help out there. But I fully understand why people would take themselves to the emergency department if they're unsure. If people are unsure and they're very worried, then it possibly is the right decision to go to the emergency department. But I'm afraid I'm just a charge nurse, and it's not my responsibility to offer public health advice to everyone in the region.
Fair enough. Well, I won't press you on that.
Yeah.
Stuart, as always, thank you very much for coming in to speak to us. Stuart Tuckworth is with Unison at Addenbrookes Hospital. It is 14 minutes now away from 7.